from the Liberty University Studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's favorite gun-toting, Bible-clinging, deplorable American.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah.
Well, hello, everybody. Welcome to the Todd Starnes Radio Program. Great to have you with us today. And we sure do have a lot of ground to cover and a lot happening all over the country. And I want to start out with a bit of breaking news, this coming from the state of Texas. And we're going to get to the horrible flooding story in just a few moments. But there is another issue, this story happening in the past couple of hours where Border Patrol agents are now being targeted. Border Patrol agents now being targeted, being ambushed. And all of this is the direct result of the Democrat Party. And the Democrat Party, for weeks now, really for months, they have been calling Border Patrol agents ICE agents. They've been calling them Gestapo, Nazis, putting targets on their backs. And so all of what is happening in Texas right now, and there have been two separate incidents, this is the result of the Democrat Party and their rhetoric. And somebody within the Democrat Party needs to have the moral courage to stand up and tell people to stop talking like this, because it's putting lives in danger. So this morning in McAllen, Texas, this information coming now from the Department of Homeland Security. This morning, an individual opened fire at the entrance of a Border Patrol building in McAllen, Texas. Border Patrol agents and local police neutralized the shooter. They shot him, and he is graveyard dead, as they say. Two officers and a Border Patrol employee were injured. One was shot in the knee, all three now at the hospital, and the FBI is now investigating. So a few days ago, a police officer was shot in the neck in another attack. So this is getting pretty dangerous out there. And again, ladies and gentlemen, it just, again, goes to show you how dangerous it is. Just absolutely insane what's happening out there. I want you to write down our telephone number. You will need this as you call in today, 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. And this story out of the Texas Hill Country is just beyond heartbreaking. And we have extensive coverage over at toddstearns.com. And I would encourage you to go to our website. We have all sorts of video, stories, all sorts of information for you there. But every single press conference they hold, the death toll continues to rise. And it is it's going to be really bad. I mean, it already is bad, and your heart just breaks for these parents. You send the kids off to camp, and then something like this happens. Now, by the way, there's been a lot of controversy over the National Weather Service here, and I just want to point out some things, because a lot of people are. A lot of people are making headlines by saying some pretty awful, terrible things. And I want to set the record straight here, and you need to understand what's really going on. First of all, the National Weather Service did nothing wrong in this particular instance. There are people out there saying, well, President Trump, he gutted the National Weather Service. They didn't have the personnel. That is actually fake news. That is simply not true. As a matter of fact, they actually had brought in additional staffing for the National Weather Service offices in the Texas Hill Country. So they had more than enough people. I think they had five people on staff. They were putting out all of the watches and the warnings. But here's the challenge, and you guys know this. I want you to just step back for a moment and think about this for just a moment. How many times have you gotten over the course of, the summertime, a flash flood warning from the National Weather Service? Has that impacted your life at all? Did you even give it a second glance? Did you even think about it? No, of course not. Nobody does. And that's exactly what's been happening in the hill country of Texas for generations because that is known as Flash Flood Alley. So they get a lot of flash flood warnings. What they don't get is a 30-foot wall of water, and nobody was forecasting that. Nobody. As a matter of fact, this goes all the way back to the 1980s when they had a devastating flood, but the water levels nowhere reached the levels that happened over the weekend in the Hill Country in Kerrville, Texas, in Kerr County. This has been somewhat unprecedented. So to go out there, and you got people blaming the National Weather Service, you got people blaming the local Texas officials, you got people blaming the Trump administration. Trump has nothing to do with this. They had all of the warnings, they all went out. Now here's the challenge. It's in the middle of the night. You're getting these warnings. There are no sirens or whatever. They have no flash flood alert system. Would it have even made a difference at that point? And I don't think it would have, because all of us, we know you're sitting there and you're listening to the radio. You get a warning on the radio. They break in. The National Weather Service breaks in. You can't understand it. It's like, okay, what does that mean? I mean, we've all heard about our radios. It's the National Emergency Alert System. So we've all been there before. But again, if you do want to talk about blame, we can talk about this particular issue. It is the weather porn industry. And we see this played out all the time. And I do wonder, and you can't help but let your mind wander in this direction. It's as if these meteorologists, and I don't mean, I'm really not painting with a broad brush at all, but it's they almost are... I can't say Nazi-esque, but they just, I mean, when there's a cloud in the sky, they will break into programming, and hell hath no fury than anybody who dares complain about it, because they feel as if they are ordained from Almighty God to provide 17 hours of wall-to-wall coverage if there's rain falling in your neighborhoods, in your communities. And it didn't used to be this way. Right. I mean, there was a time when, you know, when you had bad weather, you would have an alert or there would be something crawling under the screen of the TV. But you didn't have this wall to wall breathless coverage out there. It's just really staggering, mind boggling. And all of it started, by the way, and there is a, if you want to pinpoint a time in history, it was immediately after Hurricane Katrina. And that's when you had these National Weather Service people who were normally just putting out, you know, okay, it's 80 degrees today and, you know, it's going to be humid. Then they were like, oh, my God, we're all going to die. You are going to die. If you do not evacuate, you will die. You're like, whoa, wait, what? So what happened? Well, everybody evacuates. Everybody leaves. They pack up. They get hotel rooms. They go stay with relatives, and then nothing happens. So they go back home, and then there's another alert. And sure enough, you pack everything up, and you go to grandma's house, or you go to the Hampton Inn, where they have the free breakfast, and then nothing happens. So you come back, and then it's again and again. At some point, people made the decision. You know what? We're not going anywhere again. We're done. We're just going to stay here. We're going to ride out the storm. And you do have to wonder if this idea of the boy who cried wolf, the meteorologist who cried wolf, did that factor into any of this? And in this particular instance, I don't think so. I mean, again, it's who would have thought a 30-foot wall of water would be plowing through the Texas Hill Country at 2-3 o'clock in the morning? I don't think anybody could have predicted that. I don't think anybody could have prepared for that. So here's my question. I mean, you've got flash flooding now happening in like North Carolina. You've still got it happening in Texas. At what point do you say, okay, every time there's a flash flood warning, we have to evacuate the entire city? Right? I mean, because if you're an elected leader in Texas right now, that's you're being accused of being murderers. So what do the Texas leadership, what do they do now? Every time there's a thunderstorm, they have to evacuate and order everybody to leave their homes and go to high ground. Is that what we're talking about here? But it is ugly. There's an ugly side of all of this. When we ought to be focused on the victims, and by the way, reporters have been the worst here. They're hounding all of the survivors. I mean, these are parents who've lost their children, and you've got all these reporters knocking on the door. You know what? Knock it off. Let people grieve, for crying out loud. We don't need to hear the stories. If the parents want to talk, let them talk. But there's no need to be bothering these people. It's just really disgusting, the underbelly of all of this. And that brings me to you people in Houston. Good Lord Almighty. This story out of Houston, where you've got a doctor, and we've got the story up on ToddStearns.com. She's a pediatrician, so her job is to actually treat children. And she's now been fired. She was an employee. She's been identified by the New York Post as Dr. Christina Probst, and she was a doctor at Bluefish Pediatrics. And in the throes of all of this, she says, may all visitors, children, non-MAGA voters, and pets be safe and dry. I mean, who writes that kind of stuff? She goes on to say, Kerr County MAGA voted to gut FEMA. They deny climate change. May they get what they voted for. Bless their hearts. And we all know what that means in the South. So anyway, the woman is basically suggesting that the children of Trump supporters who died in the floods got what they deserved. I mean, this is a monster with a stethoscope. That's what this woman is. So anyway, the good news here is Bluefish Pediatrics in Houston, they have fired this woman. She is no longer employed. That's what they say. And she's not the only one. I mean, there are people out there using this to attack President Trump and using this to attack Trump supporters. I mean, this is horrible. And you see this all the time with the Democrats. I'm not saying that, you know, Republicans are pure as a driven snow, but by and large, when somebody from the other side of the aisle dies or suffers some sort of a tragedy, normally, and the correct human response is to express compassion. But that's not what's happening here. This is just despicable, what's going on. All right, we've got a lot of ground to cover. Elon Musk has completely lost his ever-loving mind. We're going to get to that. Pam Bondi's come out, and we have new intel on the Jeffrey Epstein thing, and it's going to blow your mind as well. There's a lot happening, ladies and gentlemen. We're going to get to all of it today. Our telephone number, 901-260-5926. Is there somebody to blame in what's happening in Texas right now? 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show. Mike Lindell and MyPillow employees want to thank my listeners for all your continued support. You know, Mike has a passion to help everybody get the best sleep of their life, and he didn't stop by creating the best pillow. He also created the best bed sheets ever. Mike is offering the best deal on his Percale bed sheets. You can get a set for as low as $24.98. The MyPillow Percale bed sheets are breathable and have a cool, crisp feel. They have deep pockets to fit over any mattress. They look great, they feel great, and that means an even better night's sleep for me, which is crucial for my busy schedule. Also, for a limited time, when you order over $100 worth of merch, you're going to get $100 in free digital gifts. Go to MyPillow.com and use promo code STARNS to receive the MyPillow Percale sheets for as low as $24.98. Order now or call 800-839-8506 and use promo code STARNS. That's 800-839-8506. Use promo code STARNS. Folks, welcome back. This is the Todd Stearns Radio Show. And may I just say here that when you look at what's happening in Texas right now, one of the great stories and one of the most inspirational stories, this guy from the Coast Guard, his name is Scott Ruskin. He is 26 years old. He's from New Jersey. And up until recently, I mean, this was his very first mission. very first rescue mission. The guy was an accountant, went to Ryder College, Ryder University, ran on the cross-country or track team over there. And this guy is now credited from Department of Homeland Security and now the White House. This guy is credited with saving 165 lives. It's a remarkable story. Cut number three, please.
Kind of encountered some pretty serious weather, some of the worst flying we've ever dealt with personally. It took us, you know, which should have been an hour flight, probably took us about 7 or 8 just to get into the landing zone. Once made about 4 different approaches trying to get in, we were able to get boots on the ground with the Air National Guard, Department of Public Safety for Texas, game wardens. And when we decided to leave me on scene at Camp Mystic, that was kind of our main triage site we were trying to help out with. And we decided, hey, if we leave the rescue swimmer on scene, we'll have more space in our Dolphin MH-65. So based on that, I got on scene, boots on the ground at Camp Mystic, kind of discovered I was the only person there as far as like first responders go. So yeah, I had about 200 kids mostly, all scared, terrified, cold, having probably the worst day of their life, and I just kind of need to triage them, get them to a higher level of care, and get them off the flood zone with a lot of the US 60 Army helicopters.
Talk about how that works. You got 165, close to 200 kids there. How do you get them out? Just one by one?
Yeah, so the United States Army National Guard was landing their 60s with Task Force 1, some of their rescue swimmers, and they were able to land. We kind of came up with 2 different landing zones. There was one off an archery field and then one at a soccer field. So yeah, we were able to kind of land those 60s in there. And then I was kind of the main guy as far as like grabbing people, usually like 15 to 10 kids at a time, maybe one adult with them, and bringing them over to those 60s and getting them to a different LZ that was kind of safe and had more first responders than just myself out there.
Had you ever done this before?
No, this is my first one. I haven't had any cases before. I've been a rescue swimmer for about a year, fully trained for about 6 months. So yeah, this is my first experience, but I really just kind of relied on the training we get. Coast Guard rescue swimmers get some of the highest level training in the world. So really just kind of relied on that, and that, you know, just knowing that any of the rescue swimmers in the Coast Guard would have done the exact same, if not better than me.
Wow. Just a great guy there. And he, in a separate interview, said he was just a dude doing what dudes do. And just those are the kinds of people that you want in your military. Those are the kinds of people that are out there risking everything. And this young man, the great work that he did, and again, he didn't take personal credit. As a matter of fact, it was Secretary Noem who actually introduced Mr. Ruskin to the rest of the country and really the world. And this is truly remarkable, going above and beyond the call of duty. And he says, you know what? I'm just going out there doing my job. I'm just going out there doing my job. So let's keep praying for the good people there in the Hill Country of Texas. Also, you folks in North Carolina are getting slammed as well. A lot of flooding out there. And, you know, a lot of our listenership under some sort of a watch or warning right now. So you guys be careful. All right, coming up, we've got to talk about President Trump. Over the weekend, he announced that he is looking at providing amnesty for people who are illegals who work in the service industries, hotels, farms, restaurants, things of that nature. Now, ladies and gentlemen, there's also some fresh reporting out that President Trump may even be considering a mass amnesty program. Is that what you voted for, ladies and gentlemen? Do you support the president's decision to allow illegals working at the farms and the restaurants and the hotels to stay? 901-260-5926. We're going to get into that story. That's 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show.
And we're working on legislation right now. Susie, right? We're working on legislation right now where farmers, look, they know better. They work with them for years. You had cases where, not here, but just even over the years, where people have worked for a farm on a farm for 14, 15 years, and they get thrown out pretty viciously, and we can't do it. We got to work with the farmers and people that have hotels and leisure properties too. We're going to work with them, and we're going to work very strong and smart, and we're going to put you in charge. We're going to make you responsible, and I think that that's going to make a lot of people happy. Now, serious radical right people, who I also happen to like a lot, they may not be quite as happy, but they'll understand, won't they? Do you think so? Madam Secretary, look at you with a white hat on. Do you think they'll understand that? You're the one that brought this whole situation up.
Okay, so there you have it, ladies and gentlemen. President Trump delivering remarks over the 4th of July holiday. And the president has basically announced that he's going to reverse course on his immigration policies. Now, many of you know that I don't carry water for anybody. I really don't. And I don't carry water for President Trump. But I'm going to go out on a limb here and suggest something, that President Trump is getting some very bad intel from people in his inner circle. Now, I don't know who those people are in the inner circle. I know that one of them is the Ag Secretary, Brooke Rollins, who's been a strong advocate for letting the illegals remain in the country, especially those working on farms. Now, by and large, and I'm curious to hear your thoughts on this, but by and large, most of the big farms do not actually use manual labor. Everything is done with technology, and they have the machines, but not everybody. And there are some things, for example, I believe grapes, people in the wine industry, those are things that have to be removed from the vine by hand. So you can't go in and use equipment. I'm not a farm expert, so I'm not going to do a deep dive into that. But the president out there, and this really bothers me about this, the phrase he used, radical right people, and I'm curious what the president meant by that. What is he suggesting, that people like me and you who believe that we ought to have secure borders, that makes us some sort of a radical right person, an extremist? Because when you're using phrases like radical right, that means that's code for extremist or out of the mainstream. And I would contend, based on all the reporting out there, including, I mean, you're looking at, like, let's see here, the New York Times, CNN, Marquette University, I believe ABC, here we go. The New York Times, ABC, CBS, CNN suggest overwhelming support of the president's plan to deport all illegals, not just the really, really bad ones that are raping people and killing people, but everybody. If you're here illegally, you all have to go. The CNN poll shows 56% of Americans favor deporting all illegals. So my question to the president, does that mean, Mr. President, that you believe that 56% of the country is extreme in their beliefs? But I'm curious to know who's got the president's ear on this, because the wrong people have the president's ear. California Republican State Senator Melissa Melendez writing this on X. So if I'm to understand this correctly, we should look the other way regarding illegal immigration, as long as it's in the construction, hotel, or restaurant industries. This is far beyond disappointing. It's infuriating. A lot of people are very upset over all of this. The president also did an interview with Fox News over the weekend. He says, I'm on both sides of the thing. I'm the strongest immigration guy that there's ever been, but I'm also the strongest farmer guy that there's ever been, and that includes also hotels and, you know, places where people work. Okay, but again, are there not Americans who are willing to do those jobs? And if so, I'd like to see the data. I really would. And it seems to me, if you're an able-bodied person, and let's say you're on food stamps, then you should be willing to work in the ag industry or in the hotel service industry. Anyway, this is a lot of people are very, very concerned about this. Now, word coming out earlier today, the White House may be considering a mass amnesty plan. And because the question then becomes, okay, fine, if we're going to let these people at the, you know, work at the farms, if we're going to let them work at the hotels, if we're going to let them work in the construction industry, all right, well, how do we make them, how do we make them legal while they are here? Are we looking at those B2 visas? Is that what we're looking at? And that set off Steve Bannon. Here's Bannon just a few moments ago.
These are people who go to the engineering. They take the hardest majors and grind it out, and they've done everything they're supposed to since they're like in kindergarten. You have 12 million of the best that we got, the hardest working with the most grit that don't have a job. And we're bringing in foreigners, and you're subsidizing your taxes? To hell with that. We're not going to do it, Elmo. Not going to do it. The country, no. We're not going to have a country. You're not going to have a country when the best, when the best are told you do everything you're supposed to at the top and the hardest, and you've sacrificed all that time to focus on this, and then you can't get a job or you can't get a good paying job. Screw you. This is the way you're going to lose the country. This is the way you're going to lose the country. You understand where that guy's got some traction up in New York City? This is the reason. And you either do it the way that we're going to change it around and make for your citizens. I'm telling you, you're going to look into the abyss.
Okay, here's the deal, folks. And this is as real as it gets. If the president does, in fact, move ahead with this mass amnesty plan, then it's over for the Republican Party. The Republicans will lose the midterm elections. Now, somebody's doing some calculations in the White House, and they're trying to tell Donald Trump that you don't really have a problem with the illegals that already have jobs here, that are working in, you know, the farms and the hotels, that you're okay with that kind of stuff. Is that true? I've always believed from day one you've got to have a black and white immigration policy, and I've seen the stories. I mean, we had one in the Memphis area. Some guys lived here, 25-30 years, and got a wife, got kids, and they knocked on the door. They arrested the guy because he's an illegal. So my question to this guy is, okay, you've been here 25-30 years. Why didn't you try to become legal during that 25-30 years? Why didn't you try reaching out to your local, and here's the thought, reach out to your local state representative and say, hey, you know what? I'm here illegally, but, you know, I've got a job. I want to become legal. Can you help me do that? I don't want to get in trouble. And I guarantee you those state lawmakers would help do that. But that's not what's happening here. None of these people really want to be legal. They want all the benefits of being an American citizen, but they don't want to pay taxes. They don't want to do the right thing. So anyway, President Trump now says that he's going to reconsider all of this. And I am telling you, everyone I've heard from over the weekend feel like this is a punch in the gut from Donald J. Trump. And MAGA will be, I mean, it's over. If this goes forward, the MAGA movement comes to a grinding halt. I mean, it's really that simple. Because the most pressing issue facing our country right now has been the invasion. That's it. The invasion has been stopped, but now we have to get rid of the invaders, and we've got to send them back to where they came from. If they want to come to America, they want to be a legal citizen, well, you know what? They can do that, but they've got to do it the right way. They have to do it the legal way. They have to do it just like all the other people that have already applied to come to America. So I'm curious, ladies and gentlemen, is this a deal breaker for you? Do you believe the president is making a mistake here, or are you supporting the president? 901-260-5926, our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show. All right. Welcome back, everybody. Our telephone number, 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. Let's go to Victor in Gainesville, Georgia. And, Victor, I understand you disagree with me on the illegals.
Well, I agree with you on most things, but there's a few things that you're saying and other talk show hosts say that are just incorrect. I think they should come here illegally, and I think Trump is making a mistake. Well, if somebody comes in your country or your house, let's just say your house, illegally, and you tell them to go, and they say no, and you let them stay, they've basically taken over. Now that we've started and told them they had to get out, we have to at least make some rules. My personal opinion is if they've been here 3 years and hadn't caused any trouble and they're working, cut them off all of the free benefits. And if they stay and work, then fine. But ones that are came in the last couple of years or if they've broken the law, they got to go. And you can't, just because you're meeting resistance, you can't just stop and say, oh, well, okay, we'll let you stay. That's crazy. So but what I disagree with what you said earlier is the guy, you said he'd been here 20 years, and you said, why didn't he become legal during that time? He can't. The very first thing that they tell you when you talk to immigration, if you're here and you're here legally, the first thing they tell you is you got to go back home and then file the paperwork to get here. The other thing people say is, you know, that they should come here legally. You know, the Democrats are welcoming them here, and they give them free everything, all the food they can eat, all the medical, everything's free if they just get here. So, of course, they're going to come. They're from a poor country, so they're going to come here. We need to cut all that stuff off immediately.
Well, and the challenge is, I don't think the president, if the president goes down this path, and again, we're hearing now that the White House is actively considering a literal mass amnesty. So what's going to happen is, I think the president may be taking your guidance. Anybody who's, you know, been here for 3 years or whatever, however long, they're going to get mass amnesty. We don't know what the plan's going to look like. But, Victor, do you really think that the MAGA voters are going to go for something like that?
No, I don't. And they shouldn't get amnesty, because if they get amnesty, I don't know, that may mean that in a certain amount of time they get to vote, and they should never be allowed to vote.
Well,
not,
also
not here, not the ones that came illegally.
Look, it's not just about voting. This is also about the U.S. Census and these congressional districts. And this, it just gravely concerns me, because all of the major problems, I would say probably the top eight problems facing our nation, are a direct result of the open border and the invasion of the country. And this is why I've always been black and white on this issue. If you're here illegally, you got to go back home and apply to get here the right way, the legal way.
I agree with you, but I'm just saying, can I tell you the requirements that they have to get here legally? I was told by an immigration attorney that they have to be vested in a business in Mexico. They have to own a house in Mexico, and they have to have the equivalent of $30,000 in their checking account
to be a citizen in Mexico.
In Mexico is not trying to come here. If they have all that, they're not even trying to come here. So the it's just a little too stringent, the requirements for them to get here.
But don't they? Well, shouldn't they ought to be stringent?
I'm sorry, say that again.
Shouldn't they ought to be stringent?
Well, if you ask immigration, they say they take it by a case by case basis, and it's not anything to do with their money or anything like that. So they're just letting them in kind of willy nilly anyway. You know, I want to present this from a different angle, from a business angle. It's really just simple math. If you get 400,000 people move into a town, and over 5 or 10 years, the town grows to accommodate those people. If you go take that many people back out, businesses are going to suffer a lot. And so that's why I say we should have never let them in the first place. We should have had a secure border. But since we didn't, and since the Democrats invited them in, my opinion is if they've been here 3 years and they've behaved themselves, we should cut them off all the free benefits and then let them stay.
All right, Victor, we've heard what you said. I'm sure folks are going to want to react to it. Appreciate you calling in, though, and thank you for listening. Let's go to Carol in Jackson, Tennessee. All right, Carol, you heard what Victor had to say. What say you?
Well, Todd, I'm with you. It's a black and white issue for me. They're illegal, send them back, and work on the ones that are trying to come legally. Also, he's trying to, in Medicaid, get rid of people off the Medicaid rolls that are able to work and do not deserve Medicaid. Take some of them. They're going to have to apply to work anyway. Send them out in the fields and wherever and let them do the work. But I am 100% against giving amnesty or whatever to illegal immigrants who have come in this country.
Carol, I'm concerned that if the White House does grant amnesty, it's over. I don't think we can actually recover from that. And I appreciate Tom Holman out there earlier today. What have we been saying forever on this program that it's not enough? 3,000 a day is not enough. We've got to get up to, 8, 9, 10,000 a day to match Clinton and Obama deportation numbers. So now Tom Holman's coming out today and saying we've got to boost our numbers up to about 7,000 or so a day. Yeah, I'm with Tom Holman, and we've got to keep that up. But if the president decides this is the path that he's going to change horses here, I think it's over for the MAGA movement. Carol, thank you for that call. Let's go to Vicki in North Carolina. Hi, Vicki. What say you?
Hi. Listen, I want this message to get to President Trump because my husband was in farming for many, many years. He's a big farmer. He's deceased. My children are in farming. I know all about it. What happens is these farmers need employees because people on welfare or whatever, they just don't want to work anymore. This happened and started back in President Reagan's time. They've come here. They used to come in, and they still do, under a green card. There are people that actually go down to Mexico and get these workers. They come in under a green card. They do supply them, these workers, for the farm. They build places for them to live while they're here that house them. They pay them very cheap labor. I'm not going to tell you how cheap, but they do house them, and they do give them a job. And then at the end of that season on the farms, they are supposed to leave. And, yes, a lot of them do. Some don't. They leave the farms, they go get other jobs, they stay in this country, they do not go buy their green card at all. They'll go to places like Home Depot, and that's real. I mean, that has become a joke, but it's real. Lowe's, they go to these other places, they get jobs, they have taken over the construction business.
Oh, Vicki, I'm sorry, Vicki, the computer is going to cut us off here. But you're right about this H-2A visa program. And again, this takes care of that problem. The issue is they're not leaving. These are temporary visas, but they're not leaving. Hang tight, folks. We've got a lot more ground to cover on this. We're going to go directly to your calls, 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show.
From the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's Common Sense Conservative Commentary from Todd Starnes.
Texas, that's right. I love this American ride.
And hello, everybody. Welcome. Welcome to the Todd Starnes Radio Show. Great to have you with us today. By the way, I want you to write down our telephone number. You will need this. If you're planning on calling in, 901-260-5926, that's 901-260-5926. I want to go, as promised, right to our phone lines. A lot of folks are fired up over something President Trump said over the weekend at the 4th of July celebration. Actually, he said this Thursday night at the big rally in Des Moines, Iowa. Let's go back. I want you to hear the president talking about possibly granting some sort of amnesty or allowing illegals working in the hotel industry and the ag industry to stay in the United States. But I want you to pay very close attention to what he calls all of you people that support deporting all of the illegals. Take a listen.
And right now, Susie, right? We're working on legislation right now where farmers, look, they know better. They work with them for years. You had cases where, not here, but just even over the years, where people have worked for a farm on a farm for 14, 15 years, and they get thrown out pretty viciously. And we can't do it. We got to work with the farmers and people that have hotels and leisure properties, too. We're going to work with them, and we're going to work very strong and smart, and we're going to put you in charge. We're going to make you responsible. And I think that that's going to make a lot of people happy. Now, serious radical right people, who I also happen to like a lot, they may not be quite as happy, but they'll understand, won't they? Do you think so? Madam Secretary, look at you with a white hat on. Do you think they'll understand that? You're the one that brought this whole situation up.
I don't think I understand. And I don't know about you, but it seems to me that we voted for mass deportation, not mass amnesty. Maybe I was mistaken here. I don't think I was. But this, I suspect this is going to have significant blowback for the administration if the president goes down this path. And I have no doubt that he's being pressured by big business and industry. And quite frankly, anybody who owns a hotel in the nation, because they want the cheap illegal labor. I mean, that's pretty clear. Let's go to the phone lines here. 901-260-5926. Carol in Salem, Oregon, KYKN, our great radio affiliate there. Hi, Carol. What say you?
Well, hi, Todd. I am totally against this total amnesty. I'm 89 years old this year, and I've been around a little bit with a lot of presidents. I think this man has had 100% credibility up to this point. He will lose his credibility if he does this. I think there should be a way that the farmer, rancher, or service industry puts the worker's name on a list and they go through deportation and immediately are allowed to come back under a guest worker program and their name be on a list. They also agree to deport at the end of the growing season or where, whatever. But if they should be allowed to come back, but they're a special interest kind of a worker. And I'm totally against this total amnesty.
Yeah, Carol, I don't think you're alone in that. And I will say that there are temporary visa programs set up specifically to address what you're suggesting, where they're seasonal employees. They come in, they do the work, and then they're supposed to go back to where they came from, and they're not doing that. That is a major problem. The great irony here, and Carol, I appreciate your call. The great irony, there were massive protests over the weekend in Mexico City. And why were there massive protests in Mexico City? Well, the Mexicans are really upset because a lot of Americans are now moving south of the border, and they're buying up homes, and they're moving into neighborhoods, and now their culture is being impacted. It's a great irony here, folks. The Mexicans don't want the Americans, and the Americans, we don't want the Mexicans. Everybody stay in their home country. What's so difficult about all of that? All right, let's go to Ray in Tucson, Arizona. Hi, Ray. What's on your mind?
Hello, Todd. How are you?
I'm well. Thank you for asking.
Okay, I would like to play devil's advocate for a minute.
Sure.
Okay. Now, here in Tucson, of course, you know, if you were everybody that is doing the, I would say, complaining about the Mexicans being here, taking jobs and whatnot, okay, what if we just don't hire them? Wouldn't it be kind of problem solved? But we do hire them, because if you go to the north side right now, you're going to see them working in people's yards.
What's your point here?
If we were to stop hiring them, they wouldn't have the job. You know, they wouldn't be hanging out at Home Depot waiting for day work.
Well, that's a fair point. I mean, and the question then becomes, okay, is it a crime? Should we be charging these business owners, these homeowners? I mean, let's say you need your grass cut, and you've got some guy comes up, doesn't speak English. Do you ask him for his papers? No, you're not going to do that. You know, the guy's going to charge you probably a lot cheaper than the local teenagers, you know, working summer jobs mowing grass. And so you're going to go for that. you know, you're going to save a few bucks. Well, you're committing a crime when you do that. So my whole issue, and again, you know, Ray, I've just always been, it's been black and white for me, but it's also black and white for the employers. If you are out there and you knowingly hire, or, you know, you're knowingly recruiting people who are illegals, that is a crime. You should be charged with that crime.
I agree. I thought that was in place. I used to work for a big box store once upon a time. And we would, they had that in place where, you know, you would run a social security number or run that person. And if they came back that they were illegal, you had to fire them and then call the authorities.
Yeah. I mean, it's that simple to me. And again, you're right. You start solving these problems. And again, if there are people, there was a time in the country where we were not overrun by illegals. So who was working in the fields? Who was it that was building the houses? Well, you had Americans doing that job. And if, you know, the issue here is we have Americans that are lazy in many instances, but others are not able to get jobs because of the cheap labor that's come across our southern border. Ray, good hearing from you, my friend. And I got to get to Tucson one of these days. They got great Sonora dogs out there. Anyway, good folks. 901-260-5926. All I'm saying is this is the president is on the wrong side of this issue now, and he doesn't need to be. The polling data from the New York Times, ABC, CBS, CNN, very clear that a majority of Americans want everybody who is here illegally to go back to where they came from. I mean, it really is that simple. So I don't know who has the president's ear right now, but those people need to be removed from the White House because they're sounding a lot like Democrats right now. And the president, and hear me on this, the situation in Congress is already tenuous. Do you know that they were supposed to be, this is mind-blowing. So they're giving themselves pats on the backs for finally getting around to approving the BBB. They were supposed to be back at work this week, and they've decided to take the week off. I guess they're winded from all of their work last week, but they took the week off. They're back home. They're on vacation. How about a job like that, ladies and gentlemen? All right, we've got to take a quick break here, folks. Going right back to our phone lines, 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Starnes Show. Welcome back. Let's go right back to the phone lines. And Hendersonville, North Carolina, is it Nancy? Did I get your name right?
Hello, my name is Nancy.
Nancy, my apologies, Nancy. Go ahead.
I am proud of my brother because years ago when he was starting up a business, he had a young Mexican man who came to him and begged to work for him. And my brother said, can I see your green card? No, doesn't have one. Sorry. No. And my brother told me, he said, he learned early, as a business, you got to follow the rules. And he said, he used to think you could cheat on this, that, and the other, but he got an accountant and lawyers, and no, you got to follow the rules. Augie was this man's name. He kept coming back and coming back to my brother, wanting to work. And my brother finally said, okay, I will help you get a green card. And they did. He took his hand and they went through the process. Augie got a green card. Augie worked for my brother. Augie is a wealthy man today with a family here, American citizens. Why? I expect more of our legislators to develop programs like this. Even now, help or volunteer. Can we start a volunteer organization to help these illegals who are caught in the middle of this, who are working, to help them get green cards? This seems so simple to me. And I want to say, this is slavery of Mexicans by Americans. It's no different than the Civil War. It took an adjustment, didn't it, for all the Civil War farmers to have to adjust out of having slaves. And that's what we're going to have to do now, adjust out of these working Mexicans in the farms that never should have been allowed to do that. The businesses have broke the law. Now, to go like the business police after all of them, that's not going to help either. But we've got to, I expect more of our legislators to come up with a plan to help these working illegal immigrants, many of whom are Mexican, and help them get their green card. How difficult is it? Can you explain that to me,
Nancy,
to get a green card?
No, look, I think it's a terrific story, first of all. And, I mean, what a great thing your brother did by helping this illegal and become righteous. And that's really what, you know, what this is about, right? So if there is a way, let's get these people, you know, get these people legal. Now, for me, it's black and white. You got to go back to where you came from. Or if you're here seasonally, you got to have the right paperwork and the documentation. It's really that simple to me. Again, Nancy, the problem is people don't want to be Americans, right? They want to come here. They want to take advantage of our resources. They're sending a lot of this money back right back across the border. And we just can't have that. We really can't. But again, this is all about, as you said, doing the right thing. And a lot of these businesses, and I love the way you frame this. I love it, Nancy, because you're right. This is nothing more than slave labor. And if they could get away with it, they would even pay them a single penny. They'd put them all up in some sort of, you know, an apartment house or something of that nature, just to be able to squeeze as much, you know, work out of these people as humanly possible. And honestly, maybe we ought to start treating the owners of these companies that are hiring all these illegals like we did the people who used to run the plantations a long time ago. Nancy, gotta run. Great call, though. Thank you for that. Let's go to Collierville, Tennessee. Justin is on the line. Hey, Justin, what's going on?
Hey, Todd. Hey, I grew up here in Shelby County, Tennessee. And growing up, especially as a teenager, I would do construction jobs. My dad had plenty of friends that either owned landscaping businesses or framing and roofing companies. And I would work for them. And all the crews used to be all American crews that are here in Shelby County. And now I've known many of them that have gone out of business because they simply can't compete with the wages that other companies would be hiring illegals. And now, sadly, a lot of those same construction companies, you won't find within Shelby County that aren't owned by illegals, whether it be framing crews, roofing companies now. They're even getting into plumbing. So as American citizens, we don't stand a chance. It's basically the blue collars. So I'm not for amnesty. It suppresses wages, and it puts the American worker at a severe disadvantage, and I've seen it just growing up here just in Shelby County.
Justin, I'm curious, I from a political standpoint, do you think this is going to hurt President Trump if he decides to, you know, either grant partial amnesty or complete amnesty?
Yeah, I think this would kill the MAGA movement and fracture it. I mean, there's already been some local issues, but I think this is probably coming from your chamber of commerce, your business owners, that your hotel industry, and he's not looking at it as like the coalition of the base that put him in office, of the independent, of the conservative. It was the, you know, just the blue-collar American people. So I just don't see MAGA surviving from this.
No, I don't either. And it's a dangerous game. It is a dangerous game the administration is playing here, not to mention, and we'll get into this a little bit later, but the whole Epstein situation just got a whole lot worse overnight. But again, the administration needs to stay focused here. And I am truly concerned now about the people that have power and have the president's here inside the White House. I think we've got some bad actors there, Justin. I really do.
Yeah, and so the other thing I'm worried about, you know, the biggest thing why we needed to push these people out of our country is the census. Like, this skewed our census where we didn't have an accurate count for the congressional seats. And it feels like he is just folding on his promises, because we're looking within Tennessee in 2030. They were talking about us picking up two extra congressional seats because of how many you know, Republicans or conservatives or people that have migrated to Tennessee. So how does that, if he gives blanket amnesty, how does that redraw our congressional lines across America?
Yeah, it's a great point. And again, there every major issue that we are dealing with as a country right now can be traced back to the illegals, every single one of them. Justin, got to run there, my friend. Great hearing from you as always. Again, our telephone number, 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. Don't forget the Todd Stern Show tonight, 5 o'clock Eastern on Newsmax 2. Hope you tune in. We've got a great program. We'll be giving you live updates from the scene of the devastation there in Texas. And, of course, Newsmax just went public on the New York Stock Exchange. Millions of people, just like you, are joining our news revolution. We are now the fourth highest-rated news channel, just behind CNN. Reuters says we're one of the top news brands in America. Download our free Newsmax app on your smartphone or TV, and you can start watching today. President Trump, big fan of Newsmax, and you should be too. So get the free Newsmax app and also check out Newsmax shares on the New York Stock Exchange. For that, you can go to NewsmaxInvest.com. That's NewsmaxInvest.com. And while you are doing that, head over and get yourself a copy right now of our brand new book. It's called Star Spangled Blessings, Devotions for Patriots. Reviews are coming in. A lot of folks loving this little book. Again, Star Spangled Blessings, Devotions for Patriots. We'll be right back, everybody. Welcome back, everybody. This is the Todd Stearns Radio Show. Let's go to Germantown, Tennessee. Teresa is listening to us on AM 990 KWAM. Hi, Teresa. What's on your mind today?
Hi, Todd. I was listening to the conversations today about immigration, and I just wanted to share, I had the opportunity to work for a Fortune 100 company and live in Dubai. And this was in the 90s. And boy, did you really have a lot of restrictions around how long you could be there, when you could leave, how when you returned, and all the processes that were required. In Dubai, you know, all of the labor is imported. So you had a lot of folks from India, Bangladesh, et cetera, there to work. And I felt like they did a very good job of managing the well-being of the people who were there to work, but also being very rigid about their controls of when your visa was up. And it was the responsibility of the employer to ensure the legal status of the people working under visas in that country. We even had to have a passport if you wanted to buy a bottle of wine.
Is that right?
A liquor license. You had to go in and they had to stamp it, and you could only spend X dollars a month. And so, of course, that created a whole different scenario. But they were very, very, it worked. It was very well managed. It was very clear as to whom was in control of your ability to be in their country. So I think our systems, as we all know, are broken. We need to build some type of infrastructure where these companies or employers are held responsible for the people that they employ. And we need to have better record keeping. And I agree with Justin from Colleyville straight up. I know so many American contractors who simply have given up because they cannot get work. And that's from landscaping to home building, et cetera. So we just got to build a system that can help us keep track and points back to the employers to help us with this immigrant employment situation.
Teresa, I think that it makes a lot of sense. And again, when you look at how other countries handle not just people wanting to move there permanently, immigration, but people who are coming to, say, work in Dubai or work in London, for example. there are strict rules and regulations governing that. So no other country does what we do. Well, at least they didn't used to. But now when you look at what's happening, you know, the unfettered immigration that's happening in England and France, Belgium, across Western Europe, I mean, you're watching literally Western civilization is in the crosshairs right now.
It really is. And I do think that President Trump, he tries to be open-minded, and I think that that's good. But I also think that that can shoot him, you know, punch him in the eye as well. And, you know, he should benchmark. He likes to open up to dialogue and gather other people's opinion. He should reach out to those across the pond and understand how they manage their immigrant population. And I think there's some learning to be had there.
Teresa, I think that's a pretty wise recommendation and suggestion for the president. And I certainly appreciate you calling in today, and thank you for listening. I will say this, the thing that concerned me most about all the things the president said was how he framed people who believe that the illegals, that all illegals should be deported, that we're the radical right. That tells me that there are people within his inner circle who despise the voters that put Trump there in the first place. That's what bothers me. All right, let's go to Houston. Shirley is listening to us on Patriot Talk 920. Hi, Shirley. What's on your mind today?
Hi. Todd, I'm 100% against this so-called amnesty that Trump is talking about. By the way, how many hotels does Trump own, or does he hire Americans on his properties?
Now, Shirley, I hate to say this, but you actually have a valid question there, because the president is in, and by the way, the president went out of his way to say leisure properties in another interview. So, I mean, the question is, what about Trump world? Are they taking advantage of these illegals that are coming across the border to work at the hotels? It's a fair question.
Yeah, that's right. So, with that mention of being against this amnesty crap, it takes me back to the time of Reagan, who dropped down to zero in my book, when he gave amnesty to those illegals, and it opened the floodgates in the 80s. It opened the floodgates with Reagan's amnesty, and I was totally disgusted with that. Now, since I've mentioned my opinion on this so-called amnesty crap that he wants to, I said, that's not what we elected him for. Now, number two is the Epstein. Some time ago, some years ago, when the ship sailed over to Epstein Island, there was 54. Now, this is a report that I got on the radio, and I think it was Channel 20. Fox. I think it was Fox who reported this.
Okay.
There were 54 men on that ship. Now, the next report was that there was a high-end pedophile ring in Las Vegas comprised of millionaires and politicians. That was that report. And I wonder, did anybody ever investigate this? This is a cover up as far as I'm concerned, and they better wise up.
Yeah, Shirley, look, I think you're right about this. And the Epstein, and we'll give people the background here on the Epstein, the latest Epstein update. Shirley, thank you for listening to Patriot Talk 920, by the way. So here's the deal. Late last night, the Justice Department and FBI released yet another memorandum. And they also released hours and hours of footage of Epstein's cell, the outside, not the inside. And apparently now there are rumblings that there's about 60 seconds of that video that's gone missing. But the FBI and Justice Department are now saying that there never was an Epstein list. There were no Epstein files there, and that Epstein was, there was no blackmail list. So Epstein was not blackmailing any politicians. And they also say they still believe that Epstein killed himself. This is all coming from Pam Bondi. Now, here's the thing about the Attorney General, and folks, I know this aggravates a lot of folks in Trump world, but we just don't work off anybody's talking points on this program. I love my president, and I want my president to do well. But also, the president needs to know when things aren't going well. You know, I'm not one of these grifters that's just going to be a yes man and change my opinion to reflect that of the president. We elected this man to do certain things. The America First agenda is just that. So anyway, Pam Bondi, this is why she needs to go. And I hate this because I think Pam Bondi's a great lady, but she's not doing a very good job as the Attorney General. She's spending more time on Fox News Channel than she is actually doing her job. But that's not the reason why she's got to go. The reason why she's got to go is she lied to the American people. Pam Bondi said on Fox News Channel that the Epstein files were literally on her desk. She looked the American people in the eye and said she had the list and it was sitting, literally sitting on her desk. Now she's saying that list, it never existed in the first place. Remember, they made a huge deal about all of this. They brought in all these social media influencers and they all came out with the big binders. It turned out there was nothing in the binders. It was all theatrics. So what does this tell us? Well, I'm going to tell you what it tells us. It tells us there are a lot of very powerful people on the list from both political parties. That's what this tells us. This whole thing is a complete and utter debacle. And Pam Bondi's going to have to pay the price for it. Maybe Cash Patel and Bongino, too, because Bongino spent most of his radio career talking about about the list and Epstein being suicided and all of the big name people on the planes. So now they're telling us that, according to the FBI, they're now telling us, ladies and gentlemen, that there were only victims but no perpetrators. Does that make any sense to you at all? None of this makes any sense, except for the fact that they're covering up for very rich and very powerful people in Washington, D.C. and beyond. And it does lend some credence to what had been these extremist and a lot of people's idiot or kooky conspiracy theories about there being these super powerful pedophile rings. Kind of lends a little bit of credence to that now. But do you believe any of this that they're telling us? They're saying, oh, no, yeah, there really never was a list. Yeah, there really, no, there's not a blackmail list either. We don't have a list of the clients. Well, if that's the case, then what's Ghislaine doing in prison right now? I mean, if I'm her attorneys, I'm filing to have her immediately released, right? Because if nothing happened, then why is she in prison? A lot of weird stuff going on over the past couple of days in this administration. They've got to, and look, you got to step back, take a deep breath. They've got to get their footing. Is this the end of the world for the America First movement? No, it is not. But they've got to make sure they're not making missteps. And right now they're making missteps. All right, we got to take a break here. 901-260-5926, our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show. One of our team members starring in a major production in the Memphis area, the Playhouse on the Square. And it's a musical version of the great movie A Bronx Tale. And if you've seen that movie, it's one of the great films of all time. I love watching that film. So anyway, I went yesterday to the matinee, and the Playhouse on the Square is an interesting theater. You know, I know that theaters typically, you know, go woke, right? I mean, they're all about being woke. But I didn't realize just how woke until I went to the theater. And by the way, the production is just off the charts. I mean, the music, the acting, the whole thing, it's just so well done. I mean, it's absolutely great. I will say this, that the wokeness of Playhouse on the Square, which is a major regional theater company. I mean, these are professional actors, and, you know, it's they do it up really well. But, man, do they shove the liberal agenda down your throat. Now, if you're familiar with The Bronx Tale, it's set, back in the 50s or 60s in the Bronx, and you have the tension between the working class Italians and the blacks. And that's kind of there's a love story there. So anyway, there's conflict. That's the conflict. So anyway, the first thing I noticed, you know, they give you the playbill, something to read before the show. And I realized they make all the actors put their preferred pronouns. I kid you not. It's like he, his, him, her. I will give credit to this cast, though. I mean, everybody went by their proper pronouns. They had one chick who was a she, they. I don't know what that's all about. But anyway, as I'm thumbing through this playbill, they're rewriting the story of the violent clashes, these urban clashes, and suggesting that it was really the true story was all about black people trying to get ahead in life, and that there really was no such thing as gang violence. It was just all bizarre. And I'm like, what does this have to do with anything? So they were basically turning the playbill into some sort of propaganda when there really didn't need to be. Why can't you just go to the theater and enjoy a great show? So anyway, I was having a great time minding my own business. I was there to show support. And it was, again, terrific show. But the audience, so I had a group of people behind me, and they all happen to be black. And they're offering running commentary through the entire musical, which was a little off-putting because I'm trying to figure out, okay, do I listen to their commentary or should I be listening to what's happening on the stage? Anyway, it turns out that they came close, and the stage version, they don't use the N-word, but they come close to using the N-word. And that generated a lot of outrage from the people seated directly behind me. And every time they used a word that might have been offensive to the black community, they were like offering this commentary. But here's what I thought was funny about it all. So they actually used the racial slurs against Italian people, the ethnic slurs against Italian people. They were using those words, and they weren't covering them up. They weren't bleeping them. They were just using. Nobody said a peep about that. Nobody said a peep about the offensive words directed at the Italians on stage. I guess the indignation is only righteous sometimes. So it's rather selective, ladies and gentlemen. All that to say, it was a great show. And if you're in town and you want to go catch it, I would encourage you to go and see it. The music, again, off the charts. But you're just going to have to stomach all the wokeness. Oh, I nearly forgot about this. The people surrounding me, where as soon as the show started, they're putting on the face masks. What's up with that? I mean, who does that nowadays? Anyway, I was a good sport. I didn't say anything. I was just there to watch and enjoy a great show. That's all. 901-260-5926, our number. That's 901-260-5926. Coming up, we do have an update. The Pam Bondi issue became a subject of discussion at the press briefing, and we've got some audio for that. Also, want to encourage you to visit my friends over at vaultusgold.com/Todd Stearns. That's vaultusgold.com/Todd Stearns. They want to set you up with a free guide to show you how to protect your savings account and your retirement savings, and you can do that with gold and silver IRAs. Give them a call, 833-511-4653. That's 833-511-4653. Or just super simple, go to their website, vaultusgold.com/Todd Starnes. They're going to hook you up with a free gold guide today. All right, hang tight, everybody. Hour three of the big show coming up. This is the Todd Starnes Show.
From the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's conservative blowtorch.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah.
Well, hello, everybody. Welcome to hour three of the big show. By the way, death toll now up to more than 90. In the Texas Hill Country, and there are still many, many others that are missing. And that is a tragedy that just keeps getting worse hour by hour. We will keep you updated on any new developments out of that horrible story. Also, just moments ago, the White House weighing in on this Jeffrey Epstein story, and I don't know if are you believing what the administration is telling us now? They originally told us we've got the list. It's on Pam Bondi's desk. Now we're being told, well, there never was a list. And that nobody in government, nobody in business or finance or Hollywood, nobody was being blackmailed by Jeffrey Epstein. So if that's the case, then why all the secrecy for all of these years? Anyway, Peter Doocy over at Fox asking the tough questions.
The client list that the attorney general said she had on her desk.
Well, I think if you go back and look at what the attorney general said in that interview, which was on your network on Fox News.
I've got the quote.
Go ahead.
John Roberts said, DOJ may be releasing the list of Jeffrey Epstein's clients. Will that really happen? And she said, it's sitting on my desk right now to review.
Yes, she was saying the entirety of all of the paperwork, all of the paper in relation to Jeffrey Epstein's crimes. That's what the attorney general was referring to, and I'll let her speak for that. But again, when it comes to the FBI and the Department of Justice, they are more than committed to ensuring that bad people are put behind bars. They have an operation going on right now called Summer Heat, which has our murder rate trending in the lowest direction in United States history. Their emphasis on violent crime and locking up violent criminals has led to the arrest of 14,000 violent criminals. That's a 62% increase from the same time period last year. So this attorney general and the FBI director are committed to putting bad people behind bars where they belong. They promised an exhaustive review. That's what they did. For any further details, I would refer you to the Department of Justice.
Wow. And that's what we call a pivot, ladies and gentlemen. So here's the next question I would have. Who in the Trump administration was on that list? Because that's the only reason I can figure out that the administration is withholding all of this information. They want you to know that the narrative that's been out there for years has been completely wrong. That Epstein really wasn't murdered. He committed suicide. There was no Epstein file list. There was no blackmail list. And that they don't have a list of anybody who was committing crimes against all of these victims. Here's the thing. They say there are hundreds and hundreds of victims. How can there be if no crimes were actually committed? You can't have it both ways. You just simply can't. So a couple of things are true. I mean, they're clearly lying to us. And the attorney general ought to be fired for that. Pam Bondi should be out of a job right now. Because she lied to the American people. But beyond that, ladies and gentlemen, we need to get to the bottom of all of this nonsense. And I'm glad they're going out there and arresting and rounding up people all over the place who are doing horrible, heinous things. But just because you are a multi-bazillionaire, just because you are a powerful person in Hollywood or Washington or New York City or in the sports world, that does not give you a pass. So it just seems to me that there are a good many people on those lists who are so powerful, they made sure that that list never saw the light of day. It's really unfortunate the way this has all played out, but it certainly is a horrible look for both the Justice Department and the FBI. And, I mean, you've got people running both of those agencies, and they've been out there making, they've been making money hand over fist on this idea that there was a vast cover-up of this list by the previous administration. And now they're doing the same thing the other guys did. 901-260-5926 is our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. Now, Elon Musk has gone out there and announced that he is officially forming a third political party, and it's called the America Party. Now, I know a lot of folks are laughing this off, but I would caution you against that. Look, Elon is off his rocker. Elon is way off the MAGA reservation. And you can have that conversation and that debate, and that's all well and good. But anybody who says that Elon is irrelevant, I think that would be a mistake to think that. Because Elon actually has a pretty smart strategy here. And he is going to implement this strategy in the midterm elections. And hear me on this. Elon is only after, he wants to start out by getting about 5 to 10 congressional seats. And this is a smart play, what he's doing. So he's going to go in and he's going to basically recruit these America Party candidates. And he's going to try to get these guys elected or gals elected in these congressional districts. He doesn't need that many. Even if he has just 5. Elon is becoming automatically overnight a power player in congressional politics. I mean, Elon could his candidates in his political party, even if they just have 5 elected leaders, 5 elected lawmakers, he can create a lot of chaos in our nation's capital right now. So anyway, Scott Jennings weighing in on this on CNN, and he's really concerned, and you can tell just by listening to the gravitas in Jennings' voice. Cut number 10.
It's harder than it looks to start a political party, and we'll see where they go with it. My humble advice to Elon, who I admire very much, actually, is that you may be dividing the forces of people who want to save Western civilization to the benefit of the people who don't. And so to the extent that this effort would divide conservatives and Republicans against each other, that would be helpful because it would leave the country to people who want unfettered immigration, who don't share your fiscal views, and so on and so forth. So we'll see where it goes. I sort of hope everybody puts the band back together the way they had it back in 2024, because when everybody was working together, things work quite well.
I'm not sure that's going to be possible. I will say this, though. President Trump wrote a lengthy post about all of this yesterday. He did not call Elon a nickname, and he didn't give the guy a nickname, which tells me maybe there is still maybe a shred, a morsel of respect between the two. I mean, I personally am incredibly grateful for the work that Elon did opening up X and allowing free speech to thrive on X. I appreciate the fact that he donated, hundreds of millions of dollars to President Trump's presidential campaign. But I think we all knew from day one that relationship was not going to be able to withstand a lot more because Elon is craving attention. Anyway, CNN, they've run some numbers here. Cut number 9.
This entire thing makes very little sense to me. It makes about as much sense as selling sand in the desert. What are we talking about here? What is the size of Elon Musk's base? Well, I calculate it to be about 4%, just 4%, 1, 2, 3, 4% of all voters. What is that base made up of? Well, it's those who view Elon Musk favorably and the GOP unfavorably. We're talking just about 4% of all voters out there, because it turns out most of the people who like Elon Musk already like the GOP already. That is, they already have a party for him. In my mind, there is just no base for Elon Musk's third party in the electorate, at least initially speaking.
All right. So that's right now, though, but just hear me out on this, all right? Where is most of the support coming from the Republican Party right now? It's not coming from the Republicans. It's coming from populists who are voting Republican. That's where all this is coming from. When you look at Congress, going back to the November elections, they barely won. This was an election for the presidency, not Congress. So Congress was really an afterthought. So here's the question. Let's just say that Donald Trump decides to go ahead and grant amnesty, mass amnesty, to all of the illegals working in agriculture, working in construction, and the hotels and service industries, right? Let's say Trump does that. And then let's say that Congress really never gets around to codifying any of the DOGE cuts. Those are two massive issues for the populist movement in this country. So if Congress and the White House betray voters on those issues, why would they not go not just walking to Elon Musk and the America Party, but go running to the America Party? So I'm curious to hear your thoughts on this, and we're going to open up the phone lines this hour. What do you think about this third party that Elon is starting? Would you consider joining? 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show.
We now take you behind the scenes at Elon Musk's new American Party headquarters. Let's listen in to find out where Elon gets his advice.
Okay, I've started the party that will be amazing!
Good job! Now you've got to keep them guessing. And now that you're in, get out. And then get in again.
Huh?
You and me are going to be just like Fred Astaire and Ginger Rogers.
Who's that?
Never mind, I'll bring you up to speed later. Right now, call the Clintons and make a deal to get Hillary elected president and stop Trump.
But you never told me I would have to do this.
All information is on a need-to-know basis. We have to keep the Cubans from looking under the hood.
Join us the next time our hidden microphones take you behind the scenes with Ross Perot and Elon.
Wow. All right. You know, it's interesting, though. If Ross Perot had not jumped into the race back in 1992, do you realize that George H.W. Bush would have won that election? And Monica Lewinsky, no one would know who she was. I mean, that's how consequential that decision was for Ross Perot to run. What was really the most successful third party run in modern political history. But that was a messed up political race. It really was. All right, welcome back to the Todd Stearns radio program. By the way, there's a crazy report out of Axios. And this is really important when you consider what's just happened. Early this morning, you had a gunman opening fire on Border Patrol agents in McAllen, Texas. Three people injured there. A few days ago, in another part of Texas, you had Border Patrol agents ambushed as well. And now all of this coming from the Democrats, and according to the reporting of Axios, the grassroots, once more, some of them have suggested what we really need to do is willing to get shot when visiting ICE facilities or federal agencies. That is what a House Democrat is telling Axios. Quote, our own base is telling us that what we're doing is not good enough, that there needs to be blood to grab the attention of the press and the public, the lawmaker said. A fourth House Democrat, they've been talking to a lot of Democrats. A fourth House Democrat said constituents have told them civility is not working and to prepare for violence to protect our democracy. Why is this not the lead story on cable television? That's just insanity, ladies and gentlemen. But that's where we are right now. I mean, these are very dangerous people we're talking about. The Democrats are literally out for blood. Now, where was that? Someone sent me an item. Some Hollywood actor. I don't know who this guy is, but he's got a huge following. And he said that we need to be butchering Trump supporters who are Christians. So if you're a Christian, you voted for Donald Trump, this guy says you should be butchered. And this is what we're talking about. These people are unhinged. 901-260-5926, our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. I know many of you are just as aggravated as I am with all of the cancel culture out there, and especially in the banking community where, and we saw the congressional hearings, where a number of the big banks have been canceling the accounts of conservative-owned businesses or conservative people. And that's why I want to tell you about my friends at Old Glory Bank. Old Glory Bank, not just any bank. It is literally a bank built for people who love this great country and refuse to be silenced. When you put your money in Old Glory Bank, you're actually supporting a financial institution that believes in the values that made America great. By the way, FDIC insured, and I know they're going to work hard for your money. And you want to trust that your bank has your back and won't cave to cancel culture or political agendas. Well, that's Old Glory Bank. So go check them out today, oldglorybank.com/Todd Stearns. That's oldglorybank.com/Stearns, and you can make the change today. All right, want to go back and play some audio here. And when you look at what's happening in Texas right now, some of the horrible, horrible stories that have been coming out, and it seems to me that there should be nothing but compassion for these good and decent people, and yet that's simply not the case. I want you to listen to this woman. She ran for mayor of Houston, by the way. Her name is Sadie Perkins, and what you're about to hear is just so vile, but you need to understand this kind of thinking actually exists. Take a listen.
I know I'm probably going to get canceled for this, but Camp Mystic is a whites-only girls' Christian camp. They don't even have a token Asian. They don't have a token black person. It is a all-white, white-only conservative Christian camp. If you ain't white, you ain't right, you ain't getting in, you ain't going. Period. And I think that context needs to be said in this matter. It's not to say that we don't want the girls to be found, whatever girls that are missing or whatever right now, but you best believe, especially in today's political climate, if this were a group of Hispanic girls, especially with them being in East Texas, it should be most likely Hispanic. If this were a group of Hispanic girls out there, this would not be getting this type of coverage that they're getting. No one would give a f-. And all these white people, the parents of these little girls, would be saying things like, they need to be deported, they shouldn't have been here in the first place, and yada, yada, yada. So before y'all come at me, before y'all start leaving hate comments on my page about, oh, these are just kids and they don't know no better, da, 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 da. The parents of these children who are choosing, and it is a choice in 2025, it is definitely a freaking choice to go into East Texas and to make an all-white enclave, exclusionary just for white people, with all the black people in East Texas, with all the Hispanic people in East Texas, somehow, some way, you have carved out an all-white, whites-only enclave in East Texas for your white children. Yeah, I have a problem with that. I have a big problem with that. Once again, this is no shade to the girls. I hope they all get found. But once again, y'all have to understand the climate that we're living in. They want you to have sympathy for these people. They want you to get out of your bed and to come out of your home and to go find these people and to donate your money to go find these people. Meanwhile, they're deporting your family members. Meanwhile, they're setting up concentration camps and prisons for your family members. And I need y'all to keep that in mind before y'all get out there and put on your rain boots and go find these little girls.
Wow. That, ladies and gentlemen, is what racism sounds like. We've got a face and a voice for racism in America, and it is that vile monster of a woman. All right, got it. I've got more to say about this. We've got to take a break, though. 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stearns Show. Welcome back, everybody. This is the Todd Stearns Radio Show. So apparently there are some massive immigration raids happening right now in Los Angeles in the MacArthur Park area. And we understand the mayor of Los Angeles, Karen Bass, is now on scene, and she is trying to stop the ICE agents from doing their jobs. By the way, MacArthur Park is a stronghold for the illegal alien gangs, MS-13, and it looks as though that's who authorities are after it right now. So all of this is unfolding right now. Hundreds of federal agents and military personnel on scene, and the mayor is there as well trying to stop their efforts. I don't think that's going to work. Really don't. Tom Homan is pretty riled up. So you've got Mayor Karen Bass saying that the ICE agents need to leave, and they need to leave right now. And she's demanding to speak to whoever's in charge. Where's Tom Homan? Get Homan over there. I'm sure he'd love to have a conversation with Karen Bass. Unbelievable. What a mess. What a mess, ladies and gentlemen. All right, I want to play some audio. Speaking of Tom Homan, Homan finally agrees with yours truly. We've been telling you for a long time now that we can't just be deporting 3,000 illegals a day. It's got to be bigger than that. Cut number five.
And for those who say 3,000 a day is too much, I want to remind them, do the math. We'd have to arrest 7,000 every single day for the remainder of this administration just to catch the ones Biden released the nation, right?
Yeah, I mean, it's true. So he's suggesting 7,000 to 8,000 a day. And at the bare minimum, I would agree with that. Also, Homan very upset over these Border Patrol agents that are now being targeted in these ambushes. There have been so far, when you throw in Oregon, four DHS facilities that have been targeted by these domestic terrorists. Cut number four.
Who were these suspects who were fired, who actually fired the shots and were later arrested? Who were they, Tom?
Look, you're your typical protesters that go from protesters to criminals. The attack on ICE officers, you've covered it many times, is up nearly 700%. Now, we were talking 500% a couple weeks ago, so it continues. The rhetoric against the men and women of ICE is skyrocketing, especially by members of Congress. We have senators, we have congresspeople that compare ICE to the Nazis, compare ICE to racists, and it just continues. So the public thinks, well, if a member of Congress can attack ICE, why can't we? So the rhetoric has to stop. Or it's a matter of time for someone to, you know, one of the ICE officers goes down or a criminal goes down. But we already see an officer go down.
To be clear, so these were American citizens? These weren't illegals who opened fire?
No. As far as the investigation, I want to get ahead of the local investigation on this, but they appear to be agitators, people that are protesting ICE operations, damaging ICE property, want to attack ICE officers.
All right, so far from McAllen, Texas, earlier today, we understand three people, members of law enforcement, injured when this gunman opened fire. The gunman is dead, so he's pushing up daisies. But it looks like all of the ICE agents are going to be okay, or the government agents are going to be okay. One of them shot in the knee, so that's never good. But the good news is everybody's alive, and they're going to be able to go home to their loved ones. 901-260-5926, our number. Folks, I've been telling you about all of our incredible, awesome sponsors, and we are proud to announce that AMAC, the Association of Mature American Citizens, they have joined the Todd Stern Show team, and we love what they do. You know why? Because they stand up to the radical left. That's why. They are the conservative alternative to AARP, and they're fighting every single day to protect the principles that make our nation great. Here's the best part of all. AMAC, it's not just for senior citizens. It doesn't matter if you're 18 or 80 years old. AMAC is for any American who loves this country and wants to see it protected for generations to come. And by the way, there are some great benefits for being an AMAC member. You're going to get their outstanding magazine, great reading, great articles. You're going to get access to exclusive discounts, restaurants, hotels. You're going to love the discounts, and you're going to get some great resources. Most importantly, you're going to be part of a growing patriotic community that refuses to back down. So I want you to go check them out. AMAC.us/Starnes. Again, AMAC.us/Starnes. And you'll be able to join the fight to keep America strong. We'll be right back.
I know I'm probably going to get canceled for this, but Camp Mystic is a whites-only girls' Christian camp. They don't even have a token Asian. They don't have a token Black person. It is a all white, white only conservative Christian camp. If you ain't white, you ain't right, you ain't getting in, you ain't going, period. And I think that context needs to be said in this matter. It's not to say that we don't want the girls to be found, whatever girls that are missing or whatever right now, but you best believe, especially in today's political climate, if this were a group of Hispanic girls, especially with them being in East Texas, it should be most likely Hispanic. If this were a group of Hispanic girls out there, this would not be getting this type of coverage that they're getting. No one would give a f-. And all these white people, the parents of these little girls, would be saying things like, they need to be deported, they shouldn't have been here in the first place, and yada, yada, yada. So before y'all come at me, before y'all start leaving hate comments on my page about, oh, these are just kids and they don't know no better, da, 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 da. The parents of these children who are choosing, and it is a choice in 2025, it is definitely a freaking choice to go into East Texas and to make an all-white enclave, exclusionary just for white people, with all the Black people in East Texas, with all the Hispanic people in East Texas, somehow, some way, you have carved out an all-white, whites-only enclave in East Texas for your white children. Yeah, I have a problem with that. I have a big problem with that. Once again, this is no shade to the girls. I hope they all get found. But once again, y'all have to understand the climate that we're living in. They want you to have sympathy for these people. They want you to get out of your bed and to come out of your home and to go find these people and to donate your money to go find these people. Meanwhile, they're deporting your family members. Meanwhile, they're setting up concentration camps and prisons for your family members. And I need y'all to keep that in mind before y'all get out there and put on your rain boots and go find these little girls.
All right. Wow. That is the voice of racism. Her name is, we don't know if it's Sade or Sade or Sadie Perkins. She was appointed to the Houston Food Insecurity Board in 2023. And she is a self-described racist right there. You just heard it from her mouth. I want to go to the phone lines. Kelly is listening to us in Houston on Patriot Talk 920. Kelly, good to have you with us. I mean, you hear this woman speaking. What goes through your mind?
It just makes me so mad. I can't believe it. But our mayor fired her yesterday. So I just want you to know that. And thank goodness she was not elected as our mayor.
Yeah, John Whitmire is your mayor, and you're right. He did fire her from that position. I mean, this is – could you imagine, let's just say, Marjorie Taylor Greene or somebody, a white lawmaker, saying that about the WNBA, right?
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
Unbelievable. But I just had to tell you that because that reflects on Houston, and I don't like that.
Well, then, oh, no, I understand, Kelly. Then you've got that pediatrician who got fired there in Houston, and she was basically celebrating the fact that these MAGA children had drowned.
Too much. It's just so sad. It is just so sad.
Yeah.
All the destruction is just so sad. Of all the people and all the kids, everybody. And it's still raining, I think, right now. I'm not positive, but I think it was supposed to start raining again today.
Well, it's our understanding the death toll is now over 90, and every time they hold a press conference, those numbers keep rising. But the Camp Mystic coming out, and apparently it's a very prestigious private camp, and you've got, I think, LBJ's daughters went there back when they were kids. Laura Bush was a counselor there, and a number of you had a congressman from Georgia, his granddaughters attended there, and a sitting congressman, a Pfluger, his daughters were campers there, and they were among those who were rescued who survived. But just a tragic, tragic story out there.
Unbelievable. It's just so sad. But I had to at least get that straight so that it wouldn't reflect on Houston.
No, I'm glad. Look, I'm glad you did, Kelly. And people don't, you know, I don't, you know, we know that the average person in Texas is a good, decent patriot. And they think this is all a bunch of hooey, these people saying what they're saying. So I think you're good. You're good, Kelly. All right. Thank you for calling in. 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. There is a horrible, horrible story in Memphis where a firefighter, remember the Memphis Fire Department, lost his life on Interstate 240. He crashed his motorcycle. And what's so horrible about this is that apparently people just kept running over the poor guy's body. I mean, it's just brutal. And I will say this, we're not going to post this video, but there are videos being shared on social media of the guy's body just being run over. And it's just a horrible situation. But there is a lawlessness that we are seeing in Memphis, Tennessee, like nobody has seen before. And it's just really, it's disgusting. It is just absolutely appalling. But certainly our thoughts and prayers are with the family of that firefighter, brave, good man, who was killed, fell off his motorcycle on I-240. People, I know this is hard to believe, but they drive the Dodge Chargers. None of them have car tags, by the way. And they're driving 120, 130 miles an hour on the interstate. And if you have, and this is like regularly, and the highway patrol in Tennessee, they're too busy pulling over the people driving 60 in a 55 as opposed to people driving 130 in a 55. And I guess maybe we're easier to catch. I don't know. But I never have understood that. And maybe we can get somebody to help us understand that. But it's the craziest situation on Memphis roadways. All that to say, it is freaking dangerous out there. Oh, I've got to give you an update on a story. This is insane, from KWAM. So we have this far-left newspaper. It's called the Daily Memphian. And these people, I think they just hate America. I really do. So they went after our local ball club because they were going to do, for the 4th of July, they were going to have a big, beautiful buffet. That was the big special. And the newspaper got their pantyhose in a twist. And they said, oh, you know, this is political. We shouldn't have politics at the ballpark. And they got really upset. What they were really upset over, though, was the fact that the ball club did not host a Pride Night event. The newspaper would have been okay with the Pride Night, but they can't tolerate patriotism. So now there's an update. The Daily Memphian published an anti-American screed on the 4th of July. They literally attacked the 4th of July. They went to a neighborhood called the Central Gardens. And in Memphis, and I don't know if this happens in your communities, but in Memphis, this is a huge deal. Neighborhoods will host their own 4th of July parades, and it's a lot of fun. You know, the kids get out there, the fire department will send over a fire truck, and it is truly Americana, and it's a lot of fun. But instead of doing one massive 4th of July parade, the neighborhoods all get together, and Central Gardens is a pretty wealthy neighborhood, and they decided to do a parade. So anyway, the headline is titled, Central Gardens Parade Goers Celebrate Holiday with Mixed Feelings. And they said, this is directly from the newspaper, many who spoke said they were there to celebrate their community or to help their kids build a tradition, not to celebrate the country. So the newspaper is out there, and they found the one neighborhood in Memphis that hates America, and they decided that that neighborhood should reflect everybody in the Mid-South. According to the reporter, Victoria Duffy and her daughter wore their feelings on their shirts. Duffy's shirt simply said, I dissent, while her daughter's was even more blunt, reading, I hate the president. Oh, I see. So this woman is basically guilty of child abuse. She's using her own daughter to spew her hatred of Donald Trump. What a horrible parent this woman is. No, I don't know her, Dylan. I'm just, based on what we know in the newspaper, she's a horrible human being. It's amazing how you can figure that out. This is ridiculous. What I find really fascinating here, and this is a long article, not once did they interview anybody who was proud to be an American. There was nobody in Central Gardens who was proud to be an American or proud to be a supporter of President Trump. It's almost as if the newspaper went out of its way to find the one neighborhood where there were no Trump supporters, and they found it. I mean, these people are vile, which, again, is one of the reasons why they have to ask people for donations. Otherwise, they would not be able to pay their bills. I mean, this is just absolutely insanity here. Just absolute insanity. So here's my take on it. Look, we had a great 4th of July celebration over in my neighborhood in Germantown, Tennessee. Beautiful fireworks. People wearing the red, white, and blue. People flying. There are more American flags in my neighborhood. I was so proud of the neighborhood. As a matter of fact, we have a little senior citizen. Oh, Dylan, I forgot to tell you about this. We have a big senior citizen home next to where I live, and they all have golf carts. And so they did a golf cart parade. Everybody decorated their golf carts, and they're driving around honking horns at everybody, waving. It was a lot of fun. But by golly, not in Central Gardens. Bunch of communist bastards. Communist. How can you not love America? What's wrong with you? And shame on you parents for dressing your kids up and making them wear this propaganda crap. You know what? The kid probably loves President Trump. The kid probably loves Melania Trump and probably wishes Melania was her mother. Instead of that far-left loon, geez, hello, America. So all that to say, I hope you had a great 4th of July celebration. I had a blast. Even made hot dogs. They were very tasty, too. All right. Don't forget, folks, 5 o'clock tonight on Newsmax. We got a great show for you. You're going to love it. Be sure to watch. You can watch it on Newsmax.com. The far right side of the website there, you'll be able to watch the show. ToddSterns.com, go check out our stories. We have wall-to-wall coverage of the floods in Texas, also a lot of other stuff as well. And you'll be able to download our podcast and our newsletter. Those, by the way, are free resources for you, so I really do hope that you you check those out. And you know what? Invite somebody to listen to the program tomorrow. Invite somebody to download the podcast. That's how we're going to grow this great show. All right, we've got to scoot out of here, folks. It's been a great day. You get out there, you be good, America.